On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women who had accompanied Jesus from Galilee came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then the women remembered Jesus' words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. These words seemed to the apostles an idle tale, and they did not believe the women. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. 12 hours after the Gulf War ended on Thursday, February 27, 1991, a Kansas mother received the news that every mother prays that she will never receive. Two Army officers walked into the factory where she worked and told her that her son Clayton had been killed in action. She was devastated and went home crying to mourn her great loss. The next day, late in the evening, Friday night, the phone rang while she was in the kitchen, and the voice on the other end said, "Mom, it's Clayton, I'm alive." And he had to repeat those words to her three times before the mother could really take in what was happening. Clayton went on to say that he was very much alive. His hand and foot had been wounded by a landmine, but at the moment he was walking around on crutches, and apart from that, he was feeling fine. And his mother began to cry, but this time her tears were tears of incredible joy. Her son indeed was alive. When the newspaper reporter asked the mother how she would celebrate her son's return home, she simply responded, "I will just hug him to death." That story bears a real resemblance, I think, to what happened in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. Clayton's mother believed her beloved son had met death at the hands of enemies as he performed a service that he deeply believed in. Jesus also, really though, he did die at the hand of his enemies, performing a service for mankind that he also really believed in. Clayton's mother mourned the death of her beloved son all day Thursday and all day Friday. The Blessed Virgin Mary mourned at the suffering and death of her son for 2 days as well. Both Clayton's mom and the Blessed Virgin Mary were filled with incredible joy when their sons came back to them alive. And finally, in a touch of real poetry, as was true in the case of Jesus, Clayton's hands and feet bore the wounds of his ordeal. But then the similarities end there. Clayton was only thought to be dead. On the other hand, Jesus had truly died. Moreover, Clayton's new life was simply a restoration to his former life. Jesus' new life involved a resurrection with a body that was glorified. It was really a quantum leap forward into a totally new and higher form of life, kind of like the caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. It is the same creature, but is totally transformed. Jesus is the same person after his resurrection, but is totally transformed into a glorified heavenly body. It was something no human being had ever experienced before. St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, compares a body before and after the resurrection to a seed being buried in the ground, which dies as a seed, but from it emerges a plant. And St. Paul put it this way. He said, when a body is buried, it is mortal. When it is raised, it will be immortal. When the body is buried, it is ugly and weak. When it is raised, it will be beautiful and strong. When the body is buried, it is merely a physical body. When it is raised, it will be a glorified, eternal body. And so this is what the church celebrates tonight, at Easter. We celebrate the resurrection. And this is the great claim of Christianity, utterly unique from all other religions in the world. It is a central aspect of our faith. It's what we place all our hopes on. And if you think about it, if this is not true, if Jesus did not really rise from the dead, his physical body rise physically into a glorified body, then Christianity is a fraud. If it's not true, then bishops and priests should quit, and we should get honest jobs. And all Christian churches should be closed, because if the resurrection of Christ is not true, then Christianity is the greatest deception ever upon the human race. But on the other hand, if it is true, then Jesus is the most important person who ever lived in history. If it is true, then the Christian message is the most important message of all time. There are no other options. Either it is true, and we do well to pay really close attention, or it is false, and we should ignore it completely. But it really is true for many different reasons. It's not a blind faith. We have many, many good indications that the faith, the resurrection of Christ really did happen and is true. First of all, scholars have never come up with a satisfactory answer as to why the tomb of Christ was empty and no remains of the body have ever been found or produced. Secondly, there is the recorded evidence of hundreds of witnesses who claim they saw Jesus, interacted with him, ate with him, touched him after he rose from the dead. They even gave up their lives as martyrs, rather than deny the resurrection. Thirdly, there's the tangible evidence of the shroud. As you know, this is a photographic reproduction of the original shroud of Turin in Turin in Italy. And over the last 30 years, top scientists from around the world, Nobel Prize winners, scientists from many, many different countries have scientifically examined the shroud. And the conclusions are that the evidence shows that the image on this shroud is of a man between 30 and 35 years old. He is of Jewish nationality. He was badly beaten, scourged with Roman whips, crowned with thorns, crucified. His heart was pierced with an ancient Roman lance. The shroud was from the Jerusalem area. Evidence on it shows it took place during the time of Pontius Pilate, about 2,000 years ago. The image on the shroud, scientists say, was produced by an intense, short burst of light energy. And they say this took place after the man was dead and buried, because in the image of the man on the shroud, they see that rigor mortis had already set in onto the body. But they say it must have taken place before the fourth day, after death, because they found no evidence of decomposition on the body. So how can a body that has been dead for 3 days do anything? But even without the evidence of the Shroud of Turin, I would still believe in the resurrection of Christ because of the evidence of the transformation that Jesus makes in the lives of people 2,000 years ago, throughout these 2,000 years, and right up until today. Look, for example, at the apostles. At the crucifixion, the apostles denied Christ and they abandoned him. Afterwards, they went into hiding for fear. They lost their faith and they did not know what to do next. Suddenly, 3 days later, they come out into the open, full of new life and zeal, boldly, courageously proclaiming that Jesus had risen from the dead. They're not afraid of prison, suffering, and even death. So if Jesus, when he was alive, could not inspire them with this kind of faith and courage, how could they possibly be inspired by this courage and faith after he was dead? Only if he rose from the dead does the transformation of the apostles make any sense. Then look at the life of St. Paul. He was one of the most educated and intelligent of the Pharisees. He hated Christians and he hated Christianity. He was part of a group of people that murdered St. Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church. He made it then his life's mission to find as many Christians as he could and put them to jail. He wanted, he said, to destroy Christianity at its beginning. However, in just one day on the road to Damascus, he completely changed and turned around, and he began preaching, Jesus is the Son of God and is truly risen from the dead. Then he goes on to devote the next 30 years of his life to being one of the greatest Christian missionaries the world has ever had, and then dying as a martyr. His transformation makes no sense unless, as he says, he too had an encounter with the risen Christ. And it still happens today, 2,000 years later. Look, for example, at the person of Shane Taylor from England. He was a young person. As a young person, he said, he got hooked up with a very bad crew. They started by stealing and burglaring homes. Then they graduated to stealing cars, and he lived the life of a gang member in England. He carried, he said, numerous knives on his body at all times, from small to large. And he was the kind of guy, he said, that if he pulled a knife, he would use it. One day in a fight with someone, he stabbed the other guy in the head. Later, in another fight, he stabbed the guy in the chest, just missing his heart. Now he was on the run for 2 attempted murders. He was captured and went to prison, and he was full of hatred for the system, full of hatred for the police. And while in prison, he somehow managed to stab one of the prison guards. So he was transferred to a much tougher prison and to a section called CSC. And in that section, there was no physical contact with others. Food was slipped through a hatch into his cell. Officers wore helmets and riot gear at all times, and that was his life for a long, long time. One day he was told he would go to a prison program called Alpha. You see, he had no idea what it was, but he jumped at the idea of doing something. When the program began, he said he realized shortly that what it was, and he said to himself, he said, oh no, it's a Christian thing. And he argued and was rebellious during the program. But one day, the pastor running the program, the chaplain, invited him to simply try praying. So for whatever reason, he said he did. He simply bowed his head, and he said in a real moment of honesty and sincerity, he simply said, Jesus, if you're real, come into my life, because I hate who I am. And he said at first, nothing happened. But later, he said he felt a strange, strong presence, and he burst into tears, and he sobbed uncontrollably. And he knew that at that moment, God was real and had touched his heart. And he said, overnight, he became a new man and transformed. He told people that if they owed him anything, to forget it, that they could keep it. He did not want it back. And whatever he owed others, he would repay them. Then he went on to help at 2 more Prison Alpha programs. Eventually, he finished serving his time. Then he met someone he fell in love with, got married. He loves her dearly, and they have 4 children together. And now he's the typical dad, reading Bible stories to his children and praying with them. and he volunteers at a local prison to tell other prisoners about Jesus and what he did for him in his life, trying to instill in them a hope in Jesus that with him they too could live a better and new life. And so this is what Christianity is all about. It's what we celebrate at Easter, that Jesus, who was crucified and died on the cross, rose on the third day to a new and glorified and indestructible life. And he did this for us, so that our sins could be forgiven and that he could share his life with us, a life that begins here and now and then is perfected later on in heaven. And so the questions that I think we would do well to ask ourselves tonight is, have we made room in our hearts and lives for Jesus? Are we allowing him to share his life with us? Does the resurrection of Jesus have an impact on our lives and how we choose to live them? There really are no more important questions in our life than these, and how we respond to them determines our destiny for all eternity. And so I simply invite you, if you've not yet maybe experienced the risen Christ in your lives, I invite you to simply say the little prayer that Shane Taylor did. Jesus, if you're real, come into my heart and life. Give me a new heart, a heart that wants to repent of sin, and a heart that is filled with your love for God and for others. And if we have experienced the risen Christ in our lives, as I know many, many of us have, and the resurrection has made a real impact on us, and that the resurrection really is the compass that guides our lives, then I invite you to daily turn to Mary and to pray to her and ask her to help us to grow deeper in our faith, deeper in the faith in her the resurrection of her son, Jesus, and to grow daily and living a life of holy love, just as her son taught us.